Good morning, church. I want to start today by reading two healing stories from the Bible. The healing of Naaman and the healing by the pool in Bethesda. From 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and will wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan. According to the word of the man of God, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there's a pool, in Hebrew, Bethesda, which was 5 porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. These two stories have a lot to teach us. There's Naaman, and there's an ill person by the pool for 38 years in all of us. In both healing stories, the one seeking the healing needed to participate in his own healing. Naaman needed to go to the River Jordan and wash himself 7 times. And the man who had been ill for 38 years needed to pick up his mat and walk. Jesus' first question to the man was, "Do you want to be made well?" At first glance, This question seems odd. But when we dwell a little longer, when we think deeper about it, this question is actually very pointed. Have you been to the doctor and the doctor asks you, do you want to get better? Isn't it a dumb question to ask? Of course you want to get better. Otherwise, why are you seeing the doctor in the first place? Okay, maybe you want to get MC. Well, I have a doctor, a Chinese physician, who did ask me, do you want to get better? It wasn't a silly question, because after I said yes, he told me a lot of things I had to do. I had to avoid certain kinds of food, which I liked. I have to take foul-tasting medicine for a while. The question was to help me be convinced to do what I may not necessarily want to do for my own healing. It is telling from the man's reply what was going on in his mind. Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? That question is a yes or no question. He didn't answer yes or no, but he gave excuses in his reply. Nobody that was there to help him, or someone else got there before he did. Bracket, to give you some context. Why he was sitting by the pool was that legend has it that an angel will come down once in a while and stir the waters of the pool. The first person who gets there will be healed. One person only. So everyone's racing to be the first one. So he says, someone gets there before I do, or no one helps me down. And Jesus tells him, stand up, take up your mat and walk. He needed to own his own healing and be part of the process instead of blaming other people for it not happening. He needed to take the action first. What about us? What about the healing that we seek? Are we passively waiting for healing to happen? Or do we take the first steps and participate in the process? Are we giving excuses when you're faced with a question? Do you want to be made well? Do we take up our own mats, take ownership of the healing that we need? And really, once you take the first steps, you will realize you're not on your own and God is with you. This healing is not just about the healing of our bodies, physically healing of our ailments, but also healing of our hearts, healing of our spirit, and healing of our relationships. We need to own them and not give excuses when we are faced the question, do you want to be made well? Are there things that you want to be made well? Are there situations that you are seeking reconciliation? Take up your mat. Stand up, take up your mat, and walk. There's also another common thread in both healing stories, and I like them because they're very interesting. Normally when you read it, you just hear it like a story, right? But when you sit and dwell on it, there's some things that are quite odd. Because the healing did not happen the way both characters expected it. The man in the pool expected the healing to come from the pool. After all, that's what the pool is well known for. Yet, his healing came when he obeyed Jesus, stood up, took up his mat, and walked. And really, if you're sitting by the pool for 38 years, seeking healing from the pool, maybe changing the approach might be helpful. Because if it has not happened for 38 years, maybe the approach is wrong. Or maybe you're seeking healing from the wrong place. When Naaman arrived at Elisha's house with all his horses and chariots, he expected that Elisha to come out meet him and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the spot and cure him of the leprosy there and then. That's what he expected. But that wasn't what happened for his healing to happen. And what was his reaction when what he expected did not happen? He became angry and went away. Can you imagine going to the doctor and asking, you know, for healing, and you're told, you're expecting to get medicine to fix whatever ailment that you have, and instead the doctor tells you another alternative way for healing. Would you get angry? Daryl is nodding. You will get angry. Okay, that's... Maybe some of you get angry. Naaman became angry and went away. He even turned away in rage. Why did he get angry? And I would like to ask Daryl, why will you get angry if the solution to, you know, you expected, just give me medicine, and then, but the solution was something else. Why would you get angry? Oh, your patients get angry. Oh, okay. Okay, so you've encountered people like Naaman who come to you, and when your prescribed solution wasn't what they're expecting. They were expecting, give me a tablet a day and then my problems will go away. It is not as if Elisha refused to heal him, right? Elisha just sent a messenger to tell him, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored and you shall be clean. Anger is a secondary emotion. We talked about this a couple of times in church before. There is always something beneath the anger. Was he angry because Elisha did not come to meet him in person? And he felt offended that someone of his status, that he just sent a messenger to talk to him? Or was Naaman angry because he doubted Elisha's words, that he's just sending me away to the River Jordan, but he really cannot help? Or did he feel that washing himself in the river was something that was beneath him, that it was something shameful? I don't have an answer to go into the mind of Naaman, and I doubt that you do too. But when you get angry when things don't happen the way you expected, when you don't get angry when the path towards healing isn't in line with what you have in mind, I want you to pause and reflect. Why are you angry? Just like Daryl's patients who get angry when what was the solution wasn't what they expected, when we are in those situations, I want to invite you to pause and reflect. Because sometimes the solutions that we want may not be the solutions that will resolve our situation. Because sometimes our healing may come from exactly what we are resistant to doing. Perhaps we are unwilling to seek help about what we are going through. Perhaps we are unwilling or unable to be vulnerable and talk about our feelings or experiences. Perhaps we think that nothing will change just by talking about it. Well, maybe we are just like Naaman, not realizing that our healing will come from a simple act of surrender. And finally, we sometimes expect our healing to come about instantly and without much effort, like a pill a day. We give up when it takes too long or it is too difficult. When we talk about resurrection, we often imagine an immediate, instantaneous restoration of how things were. Just like that, with a snap of the fingers, everything is restored to what was. In the healing of the paralyzed man by the pool, the scriptures say, at once the man was made well. But resurrection and healing isn't just something that happens in an instant. It is a process that takes time. Resurrection began long before Jesus was crucified. Resurrection didn't end the moment Jesus rose up from the grave. Resurrection continued as Mary encountered him in the tomb. Resurrection continued as he appeared to disciples. Resurrection continued as he broke bread with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. Resurrection continued as he told Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Resurrection continued as he asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" When the invalid man was healed, did he just start walking around as though the past 38 years sitting on his mat didn't happen? Or did it take time for him to get accustomed to walking? Those of us who have been sick and bedridden for a while, or those of us who have laid off exercise for a while after an injury, will understand that it will take time for us to get accustomed to start walking again or to start exercising again. It will take time for us to build back the muscles that have not been used and get back on track. It will take time for this man to get used to walking. Perhaps he needed a stick. Perhaps he needed someone to lean on. It is not something that instantaneously everything's okay. If healing, resurrection takes time, then one of the many things that's necessary for us and required of us is patience. But patience isn't rewarded in our modern-day consumerist culture. Instead, what is rewarded is instant gratification. Companies compete on how fast they can deliver products to you, the customers. We don't have to wait. Nowadays, a wait of 2 weeks for what we have bought to be delivered is too long. Research has shown that people abandon a website if it takes more than 3 seconds to load. 3 seconds. Last time we had dial-up, you know, it takes more than 3 seconds to connect. All this feeds into changes in our behavior. And even I noticed that change. Last time it takes forever to even load a picture online. Now we get impatient when the YouTube suddenly pauses and is still loading more of the video. And I feel the frustration. We are less patient. We have shorter attention spans. We are hyper-stimulated. We are not able to be still. And soon, even for myself, we become zombies fixated on our mobile devices. We want instant solutions and quick fixes. You know, most of you who will know me for a while will know that I have been suffering from a bad back for a while. I injured it during Christmas when we were playing musical chairs a few years back. And I had been seeking quick fixes. The chiropractor, traditional TCM, acupuncture, Tuina, you name it, I tried it. It is not until the beginning of this year that I decided to try something that takes a little longer and more effort. I started Pilates twice a week. And these days, when I ache, it is a good kind of aching that comes from exercising. There are no shortcuts to healing, reconciliation, and spiritual growth. There are just no quick fixes. For us to live as resurrected people, for us to be spiritual and connected to God, we need to be able to break away from the ways of the world. We need to have that space, that silence, that stillness. We often say before communion that we invite you to disconnect yourself from things that distract you so that you connect more deeply with God. How do you connect more deeply with God? Are you able to keep watch with Jesus for 1 hour? Half an hour? 15 minutes? 5? You see, it is a struggle to be still because we often don't see the fruits or the immediate results, and therefore we skip over it. Or perhaps that prescription to do all these things are the things that we will get angry at, because how can something like this solve my problem? How can being still help me? Just like Naaman asking the question, how can washing in the River Jordan 7 times clean me or heal me? I'm not asking you to sit an hour a day to meditate. That might be too much to ask. But how about 15 minutes? How about creating that space for 15 minutes so that you enter into communion with God? You get deeper connection. It is that silence that might bring us healing. Because sometimes that actually cultivates in us a different spirit, a time of silence and a time of waiting. So I want to invite you into this time of silent prayer. And you may do it in a variety of ways. Silent meditation. For some, we focus on a mantra like Maranatha or Come Lord Jesus. Or breathe in. You breathe in the presence of God. There are different ways to do that. And for some of you who might be going through some things in your life, you might also want to pray about those circumstances. This morning I heard from someone sharing with me that he struggles with praying for himself. That he's very happy to pray for the circumstances and the situations of others, but he struggles to pray for himself, to ask God for something that he desires. I can resonate with that. I struggle with that sometimes too. But that journey is also about surrendering, to surrender to God. May I invite you to, those of you who are struggling, to pray about the things that you are struggling with and surrender them to God, to ask for what you desire and to ask for God's will to be done. And we begin this time of silence. And for some of you who might struggle like me, one of the prayers that I use is, be still and know I am God. And I take the deep breath and I drop one word and I be still and know I am. Take a deep breath and I drop one word until I reach just be. And that's another prayer. So we have a time of prayer now. I'd like to invite you to come out of the prayer. How long did that feel like? I think that was maybe about 4 minutes. And I wonder about, for myself, I wonder if I could keep watch with Jesus for an hour. But in that prayer, when you were praying, did you feel a certain resistance from yourself? Resistance around what you're praying about, what you're praying for? Resistance and pushback from yourself in some way? Resistance from surrendering and letting go? Resistance from being made well? I want to close in prayer. I'm not asking you to close your eyes and pray again, but in this prayer that I wrote, Jesus, you ask us, do you want to be made well? And we give all sorts of excuses and reasons why we are not well. We don't have time. There's just too much. It's not possible. But that is not what you're asking. You're asking if we desire to be made well. Because if we desire to be made well, then we will need to stand up, take up our mats, and walk. Help us surrender into that process of healing. Help us get over our resistance, our reluctance to be vulnerable, and the dragging of our feet to seek help, to speak to others, and to even ask for help, and even ask for help from you. Help us see that we can overcome, that healing can happen, and we all can take that little step towards our healing and our wholeness. Stand up, take up your mat, and walk. In your name, our teacher, our friend, our healer, we pray. Amen.